the biggest part of the business.
One suggestion, you had 1 hour talk, right? Of course, you didn't tell everything you wanted to say. You didn't say everything you wanted to say. Maybe you could just continue your talk.
Maybe
you can repeat your talk and then continue.
But before you sort of continue your talk, which I really would like to listen, I have one very general question. I mean, you did not tell us in the talk what is the quantity which you really want to compute. See, you made all these identities, but you didn't really, do you want to compute the fractal dimension of the DLA class? What do you really want to, for the Haley Shaw, I mean, what is the object which you really would like to compute?
Yeah, I just start from thoughts of this thing. I present some scattered facts about different things, and to put this together is up to the audience, because I can do it myself. There are many fragments of this puzzle already elaborated, so I don't expect to tell. I make some selection. I don't expect to tell you everything which you know about it. Just a few things. Okay, but first let me answer your question. There are two problems. I said this in the beginning. One is singularities. Intellectual flow. Right? It has nothing to do with DLA. It is just a study of singularities in fluid mechanics.
Okay, that's fine, yes.
It's an independent problem and sort of respectable. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's fine, yes.
But the problem in how to regularize them, how to avoid them?
Yeah, the problem starts how to pose the problem. Because the problem isn't posed, as usual. But every time we come to singularities in fluid mechanics, the problem is imposed. So basically the question is how to pose it well.
When you say imposed, you mean mathematically or the physics is imposed? Because we can say from the physics point of view,
it's both.
Nature finds a way to circumvent singularity. So there are some physical mechanisms that come to play.
Yeah, unfortunately there are many mechanisms.
That's right.
And so they bring you to different results, and you have to select the right one, and it depends on your taste and agenda.
No, suppose I do an experiment, then the experiment
selects. You can do many different experiments. I mean, experiments in different setups.
Right, so each of them would emphasize a different mechanism.
Different mechanism. Different,
so one has to classify all of them.
Well, this is too big problem. I don't attempt even to think about it.
But in principle, that is, if I want to describe an experiment, can I, ahead of time,
maybe somebody wants to describe the experiment in fluid dynamics, but I, not among them, I don't want to describe the experiment in fluid dynamics, because I do think that current experiments addressing wrong aspects of the problem. I better want to suggest a proper experiment to address the right aspect of the problem, and this experiment has never been done. Or maybe it has been done. I don't know. That's a problem.
If you go to regularize your story in different ways, then you want to know whether these regularizations give to the same scale or not. That's it. And I mean, back to the same issue, okay?
Yeah. So this is one problem. The second problem is to relate these singularities, this flow, to probability theory and discuss stochastic.
That's DLA now, or is
and this is DLA-like problems. And of course, about stochastic patterns, this is we want fractal dimensions, and we want fractal geometry.
Yes.
Okay. Somewhere between these two, there is a probability theory which connects it, because this is deterministic and this is stochastic. And this is a problem of analysis and this is probably more stochastic geometry, and somewhere between these two is probably useful. But that's a story. And I'm interested in both, but although they are very separate questions.
But I mean, once you say that you want to study DLA, I mean, then you make already a very particular sort of regularization of your singularities,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, then I mean the DLA is well defined. I mean,
yeah.
For any time, I mean.
So singularities in fluid dynamics must be regularized.
Yeah.
Right. There are many different regularizations possible, and I'm interested to those only which bring me to this problem.
Oh, okay.
And there are many other regularizations which bring me to something else. Which I'm not interested at all.
Okay.
And those regularization I called Hamiltonian perturbations. And this is a precise meaning of this word, or dispersive, also called dispersive regularization. In addition to this, there is a diffusive regularization. And I'm not in this business. So my goal is not to study them, but to exclude them, to write the right thing.
So, I mean, and the criterion of saying it's, I mean, that this, the claim would be that the dispersive regularization on a large scale looks like DLA, is that sort of the hope?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, the hypothesis is that dispersive regularization brings you to DLA clusters. But it's an unproven hypothesis.
No,
it's
no,
a,
sure, but
it's
I mean,
a sort of agenda which persists already more than 5 years and didn't make itself.
Okay.
So, and this is a line which I'm moving. So, this one I can describe something about this line. okay. So, Hamiltonian perturbation can be defined in a very general setting, but I don't think it will be useful. But one of the settings which I can say is the following, but again, I do it in a vague fashion. This Hill-Scholl flow, one of the, when surface tension is out, one of the features it is that it preserves number of the singularities. For instance, if you draw a domain which map to unit circle or exterior to exterior is a meromorphic function or rational function with certain number of poles, then during the evolutions this number of poles does not grow. It remains the same. So the nature of singularities remains the same. This is a very important feature and distinguishes this problem from others. As soon as you add surface tension or something which I will call diffusive regularization, this is already out from the picture.
But
so
even changing it to the electric breakdown already changes that property as well, right?
Not clear. It is not really.
But you know for sure this is only for Laplacian growth where the velocity is proportional to the gradient, the first power.
Yeah.
And probably not the other powers.
There's something good happened for other powers as well. But I can't say this, although I will say a few things about other powers. Okay, so I will, my Hamiltonian, as soon as you add surface tension, then in the moment zero, as soon as you start evolution, the number of singularities grow exponentially, it will become essential singularities which continue to grow, and there is something different happened. Right? So Hamiltonian perturbations is such that this number of singularities remain finite. I start from finite, it will remain finite. Right. And this is how they distinct. In this sense, I can define, I will not go into this, but I say just a vague word, I can define an entropy which is related to this singularities, and this entropy is supposed to, not supposed to diffuse. It must stay the same. This is so, and, okay.
Mark, may I ask a silly question, or you want to go? when you say hellish or floor, is the power of the gradient on the boundary different from first power? But the operator is Laplacian, right?
Yeah.
So the minimize, I mean, if you look at it as
a variational
problem, you still minimize the integral of the gradient squared over the Why, if I may ask, because when you change the power...
I mean, the physical motivation for this is lightnings, for example, how you lightning strike. Uh-huh. The thing is that you solve an electrostatics problem, so you need the final Laplacian phi equals zero, right? But the probability that it goes in this particular direction is enhanced somehow compared to the gradient of the electric field. It's just the power of some of the electric fields.
It doesn't have to be linear.
Okay, so this is how this Laplacian growth generalizes, and kappa 4 it is for traditional Laplacian growth. So people say that they can derive it from what Ilya said, and it's called it's a dielectric breakdown. So what is known about it is that if kappa 4 more than 4, then you start from something smooth, it getting finger-like, but then this finger becomes like a really straight line, separated from each other. I don't know how to draw this, but something like that. So these lines become very, not dense, very far away from each other, and they just shoot like lightning. If kappa less than 4, then the picture is different, so you're starting from something smooth. It also produces fingering, but there, and eventually the tree, but this tree will be dense, very, very dense. And so no big areas, empty areas. Very close to SLA, in a sense. And if kappa goes to zero, then it will continue to remain smooth. It will be some small wiggles, but it remains smooth. Some people think that this is like KPZ. This limit is KPZ growth when no fingering occur. The surface is rough. But the simplest case is kappa equal four, and you will see how it will
is. This trees that you draw, is kappa going to infinity or?
If kappa is large.
Large, but not.
Oh, sorry.
Not
large, right? I'm sorry. Yeah. If kappa is small. So large. Yeah, if kappa is small, then the power is large.
So it's just straight lines.
It's just straight lines.
Yeah.
And if kappa is large, it is almost smooth surface with a small ruffle. So kappa equals infinity, KPZ, question mark. Maybe not really.
But the other limit you think is still branching, or what's the goes on there?
It's branching constant, right? But these branches are sort of not that powerful.
Right, but for couples,
so they die very
but for small kappa you still have branching.
It is still
so it's branching. It's not a silly in that sense.
No, it is branching up to. And there is a good numeric to support this.
I thought there was some argument that when kappa is small in your language, then it's not branching at all, it's just going along a straight line, more or less. You remember this?
Yeah, there is a branching, but they die immediately.
Right.
It's so small.
So Hastings argued that there's an upper critical value for this power beyond which you have an object with fractal dimension 1.
I have no idea about this.
But you know there are.
I heard many claims about this, but I really don't have anything to support this. But let me tell you something which is sort of solid. Mm-hmm. Okay. these dynamics can be regularized in this dispersive way, and the regularization goes through random matrix theory. And this is a very powerful thing, so this is what I would like, and solid. This I would like to discuss. or better not to say random matrix theory, but through Coulomb's thing. And you will see how this couple will play, how will this couple play. But let me start from kappa equal 4. So a few facts, which is Nikolai taught on his talk, and I repeated in the last few minutes, but let me concentrate on it. So what I want to consider is a Coulomb gas in 2D. So I have a plane, and particles which is sitting in points p equal to n on a plane, and the probability to find these particles at around this point would be given by is the Van der Waals. It's a probability to find particles in this particular point. Okay, of course I can multiply it by dZi. So this will be probability to find particles with that points surrounded by this at this vicinity. Okay, and this is a well-defined problem of probability theory, so I can understand it.
The question is, what is W?
W is some function, arbitrary.
But real function, right?
It is supposed to be real, because probability is real, assumed to be real. H-bar is parameter, the number of particles n, this is a function, and this function has to be chosen such that this probability is normalized. So there is a coefficient in front, 1 over Zn, I call it, which is supposed to be normalized. So this is what I would like to study. Okay. So the first point here is all these particles will be. The first question to ask is what's the position of this particle to make this probability, to maximize this probability, what's the happiest position? The answer is that they will occupy one or maybe several domains. So this is domains of eigenvalues. They will be sitting here. And the density of the distribution inside, so how many particles are sitting in this box? Is I forgot all the coefficients, so you just excuse me. I forgot 1 over 4 pi Laplace of this W. And the shape of this domain must be computed from this W. And this computation is rather complex, but it's one to one. So you give me W potential, and then I will compute the position of the domain. The density is very simple. But
this is only some continuous approximation.
Yeah, this happened in the limit, and I'm always talking about the limit when n goes to infinity, h bar goes to zero, but the product is fixed.
I think there's a. So if you consider a finite number of particles, it's not even clear if there's a unique minimum.
No, it's probably unique, but not.
Maybe several.
Yeah. But I'm only interested in this limit. Okay. So this is a fact number one.
Question for to have a row positive, you need some assumptions on W.
Yeah. Well, this would be my assumption.
Oh, okay.
That the row must be this will be positive, but where it will be possible, not everywhere, but only where rho is not zero, only inside. Right? This formula is true when z is in this domain. Right? So outside of this domain, this may be not a negative, I don't say it. But this will be a condition, and this condition equivalent to close to normalization condition. Okay. So the next point is, what happens if you add extra particles to this domain? How do they grow? Of course, there is a very important particular case when this Laplace W is equal to 1. So the density is minus 1. I put here minus, so I probably put what? When the density is uniform, when it's happened, very simple, it has happened if this is modulus of z square plus arbitrary harmonic function. Then the density is uniform, and the shape of this domain, sitting information about the shape of this domain, sitting only in this structure of this harmonic function. This is analytical function, homomorphic function. Okay. A simple theorem says that if you compute the moments of the exteriors, harmonic moments, then these coefficients are the coefficients of the Taylor expansion of this V. So if V, which assumed to be regular at some point inside the origin, if V of Z is represented by the Taylor series, at the origin, at some given point, then these coefficients are exactly the harmonic moments of this one.
This is true for non-symmetric connected.
I mean, it's a simple theorem. It is not a theorem. I mean, probably Nicolai made it to be a theorem, but it's.
I think it's Richard's theorem.
Yeah. No, it's not even conservation.
I'm talking about this. That in the limit, in this particular limit, that what will happen? Then this is sufficient to say that if I start to increase number of particles, but keeping h bar fixed, so that this parameter will grow. Ah, by the way, this parameter is the area, obviously, of this domain because the density is uniform. The density uniform, so it is area. If I increase this area, namely put more and more particles, then of course this domain will grow. And they will grow precisely as according to this law with coupling. And this is a. Let me distinguish between theorems and facts. So this is a fact.
I'm sorry. I reached the point when I have to ask several questions. How can we compute these moments and tie it up to W if we don't know anything about W outside? I mean, do we know the behavior on the boundary? Do we know that W?
No, this is defined everywhere, globally. This is defined globally.
What do you mean globally?
I mean,
V of Z is an entire function?
No. V of Z is a regular at the origin, as I said. But it is not an entire function, it has singularities. But these singularities must be such that this probability will be normalized. The typical singularity is V of Z
You guys know what this thing is?
Am I the only idiot to know?
So, what's your question?
Okay, well, that's something. That's
still imposed question.
The precise statement is this. The potential W, well, typically it's not an entire function, so, but on some domain, it is exactly, well, it's an analytic function, right? And the droplet, so this shape or several shapes, they sit inside the area where W is holomorphic.
I mean, W is, well, Z squared plus.
And then in this case, the relationship between the potential, so the V and this harmonic movement is as stated.
Yeah, okay. So the gray domains, it's a domain of analyticity of Z.
Okay.
And this is with the, but singularity is possible. If, for instance, if you choose this kind of singularity, such as V prime is. Then these domains will be quadrature domains.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose that, well, you can distort it maybe a little bit, it will be abelian domains. But this is. But
generically, I mean, you know, these are very happy cases.
Yeah, happy cases, right. Okay. But in the vicinity when this W is analytic, the growth of this one is precisely this. And this is follows from the limit, from this limit, from this thing. Okay, now if you want to implement this power, which is probably important, then implementation is that it's supposed to be multiplied by kappa to the power. It's a little bit small change, but it's very important change. It changes the whole story. But this is.
You change the charges.
The temperature.
Okay. Then the limit of this one.
No, that's linked to the h bar, isn't it? Temperature.
No, it's a logarithmic interaction, you know.
Yes, I know, but there are two terms there. There's the external potential.
So I guess what it's leading up to the question, you have a Wigner crystal somewhere is a cup or not? Don't really want to discuss it, because it's, if this occurs, it's occurred very large kappa around 100, and I don't want to discuss it. Kappa is probably one. Now, for those who think that this is temperature, this is a wrong thought. It is not a temperature. It can be, it looks like a temperature, but it isn't. It does play an entirely different role.
Now, pressing question anyway. What is the meaning of that external field in the, with respect to the equation there? You have this external field, VZ. What does it mean out there?
This equation describes evolution of domains, right? The domain and its one. And this is velocity of the domain, right? It's the normal velocity of the domain. And this is normal derivative. It's about. To solve this equation, you have to give me initial data. Initial data are fully specified by choosing this potential.
So
these coefficients, for instance, these coefficients will be your initial data.
Okay.
So again, for just to understand, the domain is defined by rho non-negative. So we have just the left-hand side. Forget about the boundary condition. What is the definition of the domain if you have W?
Of the domain?
Yes.
It is a position of this position of particles, which maximize this probability at the limit when n goes to infinity, h bar goes to zero. such that in the, this product is fixed.
Just rho is equal to 1.
So when you maximize probability,
this is where the probability is the maximum.
The domain, okay. The definition is the support of the equilibrium measure.
Okay.
So that's the definition.
But the flux density is.
Okay. Then you can look for. You can look for corrections to this quantity because it is computed in the leading limit. And the correction would be such, for instance, let me consider a smooth one, a spherical problem. All this is zero. Then this, there is one domain only, which has a circular shape. Then you go along the radius and ask how does this density behave. So the density is almost one constant inside. But when it's come to the boundary, it has exponentially, it has a Gaussian tail over there, and this the area of the gray area is 1 over square root of it. This is how the density. This is for coupling. So because it's a very sharp tail, very sharp drop, we can talk about the boundary. Otherwise, it's a distribution. Okay. If kappa is not equal to 4, but I guess less than 4, then the density behaves a bit differently. Instead of dropping at the boundary, it first raises before dropping and then drop by exponential. And the difference of this raise is proportional to kappa minus 4. I forgot to say.
What, and the width is?
And the width is square root of n.
Oh, so 1 over square root.
And
it always goes up with some
kappa. No, it is for some kappa, which I don't remember. More than 4.
Yes.
Ah, it is for this definition, it is kappa more than 3. Then you may ask the following question. What will be, if you add particles here, what will be the probability that the next particle will arrive to that point, particular point, or to that point, or to this point? What will be the probability if you add one more particle? Change n to n plus 1. But of course not n plus 1, but to some number which limit again finds, or to some number which much smaller than n, but such that this limit with the new n still exists. What will happen then? What will be probability to find particles? So first I draw the picture and then I give you a definition how to compute it. And the probability would be the following. Let me concentrate on the search for domain. Okay. You add it inside almost zero. It exists, but it's almost zero. To find particle outside, it's almost zero. So they concentrate it on a boundary, and the probability to find it at this point, at some point, looks like this. It's a Gaussian tail here, then very sharp maximum, and it goes down, and this is again one of the square root. And then I will give you some details about it. But first of all, I'd like to say...
Is it a non-distribution or is it really Gauss? Is it a Gaussian distribution?
It's a Gaussian distribution. And what does this mean? That if you start put extra particles to this, this problem, right, they will appear only on the boundary. They will not. Sometimes they form new islands. But if it's not happened, then they appear only on the boundary, so this domain growing, and the way, and the velocity how it's growing is that. Right. And more accurate can be explained in the following. Okay, but before I explain this, let me tell where I'm heading. I'm heading the point to the point. If I solve, if I drive this equation, so my domain rho, then sooner or later, again, sooner rather than later, it will form a cusp. And then this equation stops to be applicable. This is first. However, this matrix integral, this integral is okay everywhere. Since it is well posed.
But before I take the limit.
But this is ill posed problem after some time. Right? And this is well posed problem. And the problem, the difference between them is the order how you take this limit. If you first take the limit, you arrive to this Hilbert full dynamics, which is and find that it is imposed after this cusp. If you do the opposite, if you first solve this problem keeping n finite and make a limit in the solution, you will find what happened after this cusp. And this is dispersive regularization. And this problem, this is addressing the first problem about singularities in fluid dynamics. Because eventually I will take this h bar, I will set this h bar to zero, so in my answer will be no h bar, so it will be fluid dynamics. But in order to get to understand what happened after, I first have to introduce this h bar, make deterministic problem stochastic, and then solve the stochastic problem, average out, take the h-bar down, and can consider the evolution of this cusp. This is what dispersive regularization is about.
Let me just repeat, I mean, so up to the appearance of the first cusp, I mean, both things are really just identical. I mean, up to the time when you have the first singularity, I mean, both prescriptions give the same result.
I would better say this.
Okay.
Larger limit from this well-defined integral,
yes,
is elementary and regular. It's regular.
Yes.
After the cusp, it is singular.
Okay, fine. All right. Okay.
But
okay,
it exists.
Yes.
Once it exists, even after the cusp, but it exists in a singular manner, it will tell you how what happened after this cusp, how the things evolve. Okay? But of course it will, after the cusp, it will not evolve according to this equation.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's ill-defined. So this tells you how to correct this equation. To correct it. And correction is necessary only after this trouble.
Yeah. Can I clarify one issue? So I claim that you will never get a cusp inside the domain of analyticity. Mm. So what happens, you reach the domain where this potential is analytic. And so, and therefore you cannot, you don't have a
Yes. I'm coming to this question, and
you run out of the hypothesis.
Yes, right. So I won't get cusp anywhere.
I'm coming to this question, so I will explain what we think at that moment. So, the point of view evolving in time, but I tell you what we think.
But there's no such moment. That's what I'm saying. There's no such moment as the development of the cusp.
There is no such moment.
Yeah. It's simply, you just leave the domain where the Laplacian is 1 of W. So you get...
sitting on the branch, your cousin, because when...
He's a one, I don't know.
You're supported by...
Dima, if you try to guess what happened, I bet you will be wrong, because what really happened is pretty involved and complicated.
Okay.
But,
we're just trying to get... what happens with mathematics. Because my problem is that when I look at this problem, just suppose forget everything dynamically, just look at the problem, which certainly evolves in time, the fact that cusps happen at one point or finitely many points doesn't really change anything, because as long as they don't happen on
on a big set of positive harmonic measure, the problem still has a solution.
No. Definitely one point.
Sorry, it's already determined.
Okay. So now, because Valentina is about to leave, I want to link this problem to conformance theory. Not that problem, but characteristic one, which definition is through this integral. And I will tell you about I plan to say what's the probability to find a new particle here. But I skip it and will tell you different things just because we routine about it is about to leave. By the way, this potential actually explains, this form of the potential already explains this fingerprint stability. And maybe I make this comment. So, on your plane, there are certain points where potential is not is singular. Let me call it A1, A2. If you place it to the exponent, you will see that from this vector will be another product of that sort. So this product goes over all particles from 1 to n, and this product goes over position of singularities, and I choose singularities to be of that sort. Just a specific, very specific case. Okay. And the residue will be at the power. From the Coulomb gas picture, what it means is that if Z comes to A, probability is zero if Q is positive, or infinity if Q is negative. Okay. So positive Q means particles don't like these points. For instance, they don't like this point. And negative Q means they like these points. Okay. Now, in the domain of the analyticity, there is a droplet. Now, this droplet start to grow. And because they don't like these points, it want to avoid it. But it likes this, they don't like these points. It want to avoid it. So it probably find a pass through between them. But this point they like. Rush to it, okay. And try to avoid this one. Okay, and this picture explained pretty accurately why it is a fingerprint instability. Simply, in a Coulomb gas, you put some points which is attractive for the pulse, and this is how it goes. Now, points which are attractive, before coming to this point, the interface make a cusp. This cusp simply means that there is somewhere this attractive point is sitting here and it's rushing to it, but before it rushing, it comes to the system.
From the picture of the heli show, what determines these points?
Initial data. As I have said, these points are sitting here. It is this potential I choose. But this potential doesn't move in time. It is given. It is my initial data.
So it's initial data, the original shape?
Yes, original shape. So if you have original shape, a circle, then no points. It will continue to grow happily. If you just destroy it a little bit, that you immediately determine pretty large number of these points. If the domain is quadrature, the number of these points is finite. But it may be infinite, but countable. It depends whether it's a rational or meromorphic function. Not this, but the so it's sitting in initial data. If you go around the contour, you don't see it because it's very smooth, it's very small deviation, but it's already known about this point, they are sitting over there. It doesn't see it because they may be far away, but when it grows, it eventually hits them and does it. Now let me explain why, what is this, before I come to conformance theory, I just need 1 minute, what is this correction is about? Suppose Another explanation of this thing is that for this Coulomb gas problem, there is a minimum or saddle points or maximum of this potential. Here I am drawing this W, but not actually W because I have to take into account repulsive potential of this one. So I draw sort of external midfield self-consistent potential. Okay, and somewhere there is my chemical potential, means that I have given number of particles for this quantity, right? And I start to feel this this thing, and this is where my droplet is sitting. Okay. And this droplet is sitting and continue to grow if I add more and more particles before it coming to trouble. And this explanation of the cusp. As soon as it comes to this place, then it wants to go there and doesn't know what to do. And this is where the classical problem stops. Okay, now, in a stochastic interpretation, or in stochastic regularization of this problem, this is sort of quantum mechanics. It's related to quantum mechanical problem. And in fact, particles sitting here allow to tunnel. Classically, you don't know about the existence of this well at all. But in a stochastic version, you do know. There will be some small probability to come here. Very tiny probability to come here, but it exists. And
I'm not sure why is it small because this parameter
is small.
No, but as soon as your chemical potential is higher than the second minimum, would not go there.
Yeah. Actually, the problem is a bit more complicated because this potential, as I said, it is not this one, but it's a sort of mid. It's changing in time.
Yes, that's right.
As soon as you're getting more and more here, this well getting deeper and deeper, so it's moving potential, and suddenly they want to go there, right? But classically, you will see the cusp. And in quantum mechanics or stochastic version, they simply start to move there. Mm-hmm. Right? And then if you solve the problem when tunneling is allowed, although it's very small, and then take a limit, when you solve the problem when tunneling allowed, you get exponential corrections.
Sorry, when you're saying quantum mechanics, do you mean real quantum mechanics?
No, it's quantum mechanics. It is related to some quantum mechanical problem, like which I may say which problem is this about.
Yeah, but you're still thinking about the classical problem. Okay. You're not changing the problem.
I'm thinking about semi-classical limit of this quantum mechanics, which will be my classical problem.
As compared to the purely classical.
Purely classical. And then I see...
So these are two different problems.
Yeah. And then I see that before the cusp, before this catastrophe.
Think about the partition function. There's a, of course, saddle point, which is the classical problem. But there are other contributions, and that's what...
There's no real quantum mechanics, it's just a statistical problem as given by this thing, but you're using the language of, you know...
No, that's what I would ask you, just using the language...
This language is okay with him.
Yeah. No, but you did not change the problem, you just used a different language.
That's not it. I'm saying
this way. This problem.
You have to solve this statistical mechanics of this particle, for instance, right? Of course, you can solve it in a classical limit when this h bar equal to zero by minimizing this piece and this piece. Right? By doing this, you will end up to the classical problem of fluid mechanics. Right? And this problem will not know about the existence of other minimum, because they may be simply very high. Okay, when time evolves, if you're still sitting in the classical problem, you will come to this point. Your lake will grow, come to this point, it will go down, but classical problem doesn't know about this existence. Okay, stochastic problem, or let me call it quantum, allow tunneling. So it is sort of know about this one, about this existence, and it comes in the exponential fractions.
But you're using it only to way of regularizing the classic.
Only if you regularize. Okay, then my suggestion is the following. You take into account this exponential correction, allow things to tunnel, it will span all this space.
So it's 1/n is not the same as classical then? Is quantum correction then? Because
there is exponential and...
The structure of the profile deviated from the step function from 1 to 0 by this tail that you said was a algebraic power law in N, right? So it could not be exponential. It's not exponential.
So what's the case of tunneling is exponential.
Yeah.
This is only what I meant.
But there are corrections in 1 over N, even before you reach the problematic point, right?
Yes. So there is a correction with 1 over N, easy to take into account. The correction exponential you can usually neglect, but this is a major correction, which becomes a major correction when it reaches the cusp.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So suggestion is you take them into account first, then your droplet is actually stochastic, so it's sort of span not only where it's leaf, but everywhere. Know about existence of other minima, and then take limit back, and it will be entirely different thing, and this is this correction. In fact, you can find 1 over n corrections can be easily to take into account, and that would be fabrical 4, I know them, and that would be n plus. This is 1 over n correction, and this is a curvature of the domain. So if it's curved, then correction which produce this stochastic regularization, it is a first term and then the process. But these corrections did not take into account exponential corrections, one-to-one calculation, just power. But you can see that you have to modify it anyway. This is innocent modification because it's one of n correction, and exponential correction are much more important. And when I talk about regularization of singularities, this is what I meant. Okay. But now, especially for Valentina, relation to conformal field theory.
And in the movie, what happens after the cusp in this scenario?
Let me drop this piece. And then we may discuss. So you can ask the following question. Before cusp occur, you can study this stuff as a 1 over n expansion and say that Zi has the most happy position, which means maximize this probability, and this is what I described, this is the solution of the classical problem. But then it has fluctuations. You want to describe this fluctuation by studying field phi of z, which is the sum of this log and you have a desire to subtract the classical part. I have a desire. Because the density is 1, so I just integrated, I subtract the classical. Okay, then you may try to rewrite this probability distribution in terms of this phi, but already taking this limit. Okay, and then I'd like to give you an answer. The answer, this question has been studied in random matrix models, but not in this one. In Hermitian random matrix model, this is normal matrix model, but not a big difference. But then I would like to sketch the answer. So the question is, what's the distribution function of this object, which I called Bose field? I assume that it's continuum field because n is very large. So they are very tiny sitting. So this is a smooth function. It's my assumption. And I would like to find deduct from this discretized version when I talk about individual particles probability for this field. What would it be?
Do you have to somehow normalize, or you really want to just pick? I mean, there's no prefactor in front of the sum somehow.
You have to divide it by 1 of them. So it's n terms divided by n. So the probability to find this phi, this phi, is given by.
So does this field live inside the domain or outside?
No, it's lived everywhere.
Everywhere.
So this classical part lives only inside, so I integrate it over this domain.
No. I mean, point Z, I'm saying, of course you integrate.
Point Z everywhere.
Z is everywhere.
Everywhere. Sometimes inside, sometimes outside. But let me give you the...
So logarithmic potential exists inside of here?
Well, then it's...
It's an integral singularity, right?
So, but let me give you...
It's if you integrate quadrature potential, you know, quotient transform, you will get logarithmic potential.
So what is this A? Again, I screw up all the coefficients. D bar would be exterior domain. It consists of two integrals. One goes through over bulk over the exterior domain, and another goes. Another goes over boundary over exterior domain. K is a curvature of the domain, and phi tilde is a Hilbert transform on the domain, on the boundary. If the boundary is flat, so that would be phi. On the boundary. Okay. And alpha naught. That's important. Okay. So what it tells, what it says. So this is a Gaussian field with boundary corrections, and these boundary corrections are very sensitive to kappa. So let me remove this red blue was and this section is known to be CFT, conformal theory with the central charge less than 1, central charge equal to 1 minus 6.
What's the status? Is it a fact or is it a hypothesis?
Neither fact nor hypothesis.
It's a theorem.
It's even more complicated. It's a quotation from my paper with Anton Zavos.
Okay, better than fact.
it depends. But Nikolai probably has a fact theorem about this. But here's the point.
This logarithmic thing gives you the Gaussian, right? I forgot. Just you told us.
That's exactly what to a free Gaussian field, precisely in bulk and on the boundary.
But it's not free Gaussian field. You see, it has.
We still call it Gaussian field.
Oh, okay.
No,
you are studying only.
You keep
capital square. You are only doing capital square.
Just a constant in front of.
I would prefer to keep it to call it still Gaussian field, even with this correction.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Still Gaussian,
but not.
No, it's precisely the Gaussian field minus what's in the exterior. So you keep it on the boundary.
Okay. Then you may, and this is a relation to conformative theory. So if you have this domain, this it has a classical shape, which determined by this initial data, with all this potential. Right? By having this potential, you will find the boundary. I forgot to say that phi is zero on the boundary. It is a Dirichlet Gaussian field with a Dirichlet condition, and it's important that I do it in the exterior domain. It can be reasoned through the interior domain, but to fit through.
But that makes the domain, the interior quadrature domain. It makes a quadrature domain if phi is zero on the boundary.
Phi is not zero on the boundary.
It's then phi tilde is zero, right?
Gilbert and Sobel also build zero.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That theory will give you what it's on the problem, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Phi tilde is zero on the boundary. That's especially nice one.
Special one.
Equipotential plan, isn't it?
I'm sorry, so how should I write it better? No, phi is zero on the boundary. But the n phi is not.
But then f tilde is zero, right?
No. I'm sorry.
Then f tilde is not a Hilbert transform.
Let me explain what is phi tilde is. It is written through Bergman kernel, but let me explain. So if you have a domain boundary,
it's probably Berlin transform.
That's what it is. Which transform?
It's go ahead.
You have a boundary. You want to solve Dirichlet problem on the boundary, in the exterior domain with a Dirichlet boundary condition, and with a source at infinity. And
that's a Green's function.
And it's a Green function, I'm sorry.
What is the source of Dirichlet boundary condition?
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no,
yeah, I'm sorry. So there is no condition on the boundary, but this one is what I wrote. So you have to solve. Just let me explain. So you have to solve a Dirichlet problem with a boundary condition, with a phi charge at infinity, with a boundary condition that phi equals
some given function.
Given function, and this function, that solution will be represented as sum of the homomorphic function, and phi tilde will be a difference between them. No, this is phi tilde. Yeah, but here's my point, that this action is described conformational theory with this central charge. You can see that this central charge is coupled to this kappa, and it become 1 when kappa equals 4. Okay. And now we have to come to interpret this field. This field will actually describe how this boundary fluctuates in this stochastic problem. So what's the probability to find a boundary which is different from the classical one? So this is a fluctuation of the boundary. And this field can be related to the fluctuation of the boundary.
It's not a field. It's a
completely true. I mean, the field is, I mean, according to your definition, it was defined on the full complex plane, right?
Sorry?
I mean, the original one, I mean, before you take any limit, I mean, the phi of C, I mean, this is defined in the full complex plane.
This is phi, defined in the everywhere.
And in the limit, you're saying?
After taking a limit.
You get an action which is defined only outside?
Only outside.
Outside, okay, okay.
So this is how it's things are related to.
So, sorry. If phi tilde is defined by the classical solutions of the classical equations of motion,
yes.
And that's not fluctuating,
then
what's the point of including it in
the? I'm saying the point. The cube fluctuates on the boundary.
Right. And for each value,
you have to define this. And I think it's called Bergman. They are related by Bergman. I haven't defined the correct definition, which I don't.
But usually, I mean, the fields are very buff functions. I mean, if you take, if I take the distribution, I mean, with this action, I mean, then you, I mean, they're not, I mean, they're very buff functions. I mean, so how can one define? I mean, they're not very smooth functions. I mean.
Absolutely. Because it's not smooth function at all, right? As we know from Shackleton-Schramm, right? Therefore, attempt to substitute it here, right? What's the meaning of this equation? The meaning of this equation is that the piece which is the smooth piece growing with a small velocity and sharp piece going with a large velocity, right? Because it is rough, then the velocity of this rough part will be very large, and actually very large, and this is how it may evolve to delay, very fast evolve to delay. Right? This is an idea, but how to formulate this idea in terms of real stochastic problem process, I don't know. Nikolai recently came with some proposal, which has not, this is about it. So we don't really know what happened with this problem after, if the fluctuations are taken into account. We see that it's very unstable, right? As you have said, fluctuations make it very rough, but small, and then velocity at the rough part grow, and the things explode. If fluctuations are small, even in the beginning evolution when everything is smooth, not much happened. It is, of course, it's rough, but it's averaged out. If and this averaging gives this correction. And if the problem is already cusp, and it's rough, then these fluctuations around this point exploded, and these corrections are not sufficient. So you have to take everything else. And then it's exploded, and the crash. That's the story. So, relation to SLE story, which I don't understand very well, is, but maybe I have to mention as a source of discussion, is the following. We know that it comes, that the boundary sooner or later will come to a cusp. And we know also that there's a Gaussian field after the, say, sitting outside. But now the boundary has a cuspy shape. How does this Gaussian field behave in this cuspy domain? And one of the propositions, which one of the possibilities related to SLE is that SLE line simply starts from here. Simply because it only needs several, simply because it has a curvature. I don't understand it very well. It's a fault. My last comment is that these things well studied in the Hermitian matrix problem when these cusps known as the critical points of the random matrix problems. So here they appear. And so basically, the question is. Okay, so I stop here, but coming back to your original question, what we are here about, I mentioned two problems, singularities and stochastic dynamics, and you see they're well connected.
Yeah,
before singularities is here, you may do it stochastically, but it's a very small correction, so you forget about it. Mm-hmm. It's a correction machine. Over here, curvature is infinite, large. This correction is not. You have to take everything into account in exponential corrections. And then stochasticity around this is a key point. Okay. You may average over this stochasticity and then get resolution of the singularities in fluid dynamics. After it's averaged, then you will see how this cusp progresses further. That will be solution for singularities for the fluid dynamics. If you don't want to average blindly, then you may ask some more complicated question about distribution of these lines, which is coming from here, and that is a stochastic problem. So I'm just saying that they are all related. It is actually one problem, not separated.
Is it even close to correct to say that when you say you average and you see what happens after the cusp, so you sort of think, especially if you're not trained to think like you guys, that cusp is some kind of unstable equilibrium and the process continues after that?
Cusp?
Well, I mean, you swing a ball on the road. When it comes, there are two equilibrium positions. One is definitely stable, one is definitely not.
Well, I can explain, I'm not sure that it's another subject, but
I'm just trying to think how to somehow have some picture. What does it actually mean that something happens after the cusp? How does it change?
Is it life?
I'm sorry? Is there a life after death?
Yeah, so the question is there any dynamics after the cusp?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, there is a dynamics, but you have to correct the original problem. So, and these corrections are well-defined corrections, so they are negligible before the cusp. After the cusp, they are very important. So the answer for your question has no answer. If you stick with Laplacian growth, there is nothing after the cusp. It is impulse problem. If you correct this problem in the right way, then there is a dynamic after the cusp, but it's another problem.
So how come exponential things can be more effective than non-algebraic? This is, I never understand. I don't understand. So how can it be? Even the minus n is always much smaller than 1 over n. Right?
Time is huge.
Time
is huge. With quantum mechanics, if you go small,
but in that case, there's no 1 over n. So even minus n is the only thing that exists.
But 1 over n does not give you.
Let me tell you what we know at that moment. We sort of guessing how to correct this problem, but the source of inspiration is this one, right? And then some cusps, we discussed it recently, that there are different kinds sort of cusps, right? There's a 2-3 cusp, 2-5 cusp, 2-7 and all others. And this is how we call it. Maximum, not maximum. Right? And we know how to correct this problem such that it goes through this cusp. Actually, never made this cusp, but regularize this cusp.
So in other words, you are adding some correction which is zero before the cusp, non-zero.
Which are negligible before the cusp.
Negligible, sorry.
They exist, but they can neglect them. But they are important after the cusp. And these corrections nicely correct 2-5 and 2-9 and 12.
of this, this series.
So if you look at the profile, you actually never
see. Yeah, I can draw a movie. How, what happened? We come to the, this 2-5 pass. But before this, it stopped to do it, and there is a whole scenario of how, what happened, which I can describe.
And it's unique.
And it's unique.
Okay.
And I can describe it, but not at the moment. And this one is a bit more complicated. I can't tell you how, what happened, but I know how to. I have a framework to analyze it, but I don't have an answer how. I can show you the movie. So it's basically a question of substitution of an impulse problem by specially chosen impulse problem.
Can you say that you are just using quantum mechanics to regulate it?
I use quantum mechanics to all stochastics, whatever, noise.
It is more uncorrelated noise. It is, you could change the noise, have some conserved noise.
Yeah, I can represent
that. Everything changes, probably.
I can represent that the mobility is a noise.
Yes, but you could also have a conserved noise.
You could
call
quantum mechanics or noise, whatever. I use it. Okay, let me use the word quantum mechanics. I first quantize the problem. It has become quantum. So it has a parameter of the. The dimension of this parameter is the area. Now we have said that in quantum mechanics, this quantum of area will not allow singularities because of Heisenberg principle. Right? Therefore, this problem is well defined. Then I solve it, and then take this h bar to zero backward again. And again, get a well-defined problem, but not what I originally started. Okay. So, introducing of H here, and solving and setting it to zero, it is not equivalent to put it zero in the very beginning.
It's reversing limits.
It's reversing limits. Right? And that's why this problem is ill-posed, simply because this limit is simple.
So, as you said, that's a way of doing some experiment. I mean, it sort of reveals the quantum nature, let's say, of the system if there are no other mechanisms to prevent it.
One of the mechanisms.
Right. Let's say there are no other mechanisms. I can prepare it.
But again, in nature, there is always diffusive
forces. Let me not worry about nature. That's the suppose I can eliminate all other mechanisms except quantum mechanics, then this is how it would happen.
It's one of the scenarios how it may go. And there is a
quantum mechanics. It's a certain way of implementing noise, okay?
Yeah, that's
really
and,
but it's a very special way to implement noise.
That's probably the most generic noise. Like uncorrelated noise without conservation is the most generic one. But you could implement some conservation of the noise,
clear with
conservation laws, and then you get a different universality class problem.
It is not clear. If you introduce noise in whatever arbitrary way, I'm not sure that it will run to the same story, but it's not clear. But this is a very specific implementation of
hope is that this is a generic
elasticity. And this specific is such that the number of singularities do not grow up, so it will be given in the beginning and it will not grow up. So singularities are chosen in this potential, and I fix it once forever. It will stay once forever. If I have five singularities, it will stay. They will not grow. I'm not sure that introducing noise, whatever, will save this important problem.
Could you write down on the table Langevin equation for adding a particle to that equation?
Yes, I may.
And then see whether you have uncorrelated noise.
Yeah, I may. And this is what I will do, and then we finish. But I may, but this way is not very illuminating. I want to add noise somewhere here, which
Nikolai has a hypothesis how to add noise just at this equation. I don't really know how it's connected to that, but this can be also written as a noise, but let me do it very briefly, very briefly. So as you know, it can be written as a metric symbol. Right? So this is a normal matrix.
Only for kappa equals 4.
Only for kappa equals 4. Which is important. Otherwise, I don't know how to make it noisy. Okay, and this can be written as a Langevin equation. So the relation between a matrix and Z, this matrix can be diagonalized. Eigenvalues of this matrix. And this matrix, the system can be written as a Langevin equation in the elementary way. Every matrix element obey Langevin equation. Plus white noise.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's not any problem. So here the number of polygons is conserved.
I guess the matrix has a finite size. It's
the dimension of the matrix is conserved.
Yeah.
I guess what Marcel was trying to do was asking the question whether this process of adding an extra polygon, I mean increasing n to n plus 1, whether this can be sort of like a dynamical evolution.
There are two different types.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you introduce this time, it is not time which I run the problem, it's an artificial time. Mm-hmm. Then it is like a silly time. Then in the equilibrium configuration of this will give me that one. Yes. Equilibrium configuration of this process, of this diffusion, will give me this one. So I have to, if I know how to call, let me call it capital time. And then when time goes to infinity, the equilibrium situation will be this. So that's a possibility. But maybe there is probably a much clever way to do this.
I think it's a good understanding of the talk. I think it's a solid.